is Genesis 1 through to chapter 2, verse 4. Now, I'm not going to read all of that. I'm going to leave the PowerPoint to have done that, and probably for most of you, a good memory on what Genesis 1 and 2 are about the founding and creation of the world. But I will read Psalm 8 and maybe the two bits from the Gospel of Matthew and the second letter of Corinthians. And then I'm going to invite John Kinghorn to talk on behalf of the Father of God. And I'm going to invite Mike Fitness to speak on behalf of the Child of God. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then Donna Johnson to speak on behalf of the Spirit, the feminine side of God, if you like. Often the noun used for the Spirit is a feminine noun. So Psalm 8, O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 11 to 13, finally, Paul writes, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Clearly he wasn't listening to the current social distancing rules. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit will be with you. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Blessed be the reading of his word. John, I'd like to invite you forward first.
Morning all. I'm quite pleased to be here actually. This topic's been sort of more alive to me lately. Jenny and I have been going through a really quite exciting time over the last few months with learning more about God and getting to know what's available through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, which has been really cool. So the fact that this is Trinity Sunday I think is quite neat, quite appropriate. So Philip's kind of summarised the lectionary texts which involve two passages from the Old Testament and two from the New. The first talks about God being the creator of all things, but also how he gave us dominion over all living things on earth. The second talks about how majestic God's name is, and yet how he uses the weak among us to display his power, how sovereign he is, and yet he bestows glory and honor on us. So there's a theme here about how incredible and powerful God is, and yet how he empowers and enhances us as well. And then we have a couple of sort of concluding statements, as Philip read out, one from the end of Matthew where Jesus sends the disciples out and instructs them to baptize in the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And the others from 2 Corinthians with a sort of a closing instruction and a blessing from Paul. He closes with, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And I really love that line because I've realized more and more how much I need those three things to be active in my life. I've been realizing more and more lately how futile my striving has been to change myself, to fix character flaws. You know, I've tried to be a better husband, I've tried to be a better father, tried to edify others more. But I feel like a failure when the same mistakes that I've made years ago have come back again and again. But it's not how it needs to be. You know, the scripture says that there is no longer any condemnation for us in Christ. It says that we are his righteousness. So I'm not supposed to seek my own righteousness. I'm supposed to seek his righteousness in me. I was also trying to increase my knowledge, and yet Paul says in his first letter to Corinthians that knowledge makes arrogant. So I was becoming my own teacher. You know, the more I knew about the scripture, the more I was able to critique my own life. But that's actually not my role. That's the role of God. So I had to start with humility before I could understand grace. I think that's quite interesting looking back when I came across a scripture that says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So he had to take me through that first. And only after a revelation of grace could I appreciate what was available to us through the Holy Spirit. In the first reading of the text today, in Genesis, God says, "Let us make mankind in our image." I thought that was quite interesting. It says plural, "in our image." And then he proceeded to create man as body, soul, and spirit. And so I've concluded that I need all three parts of God to complete all three parts of me. So sort of looking back over my life generally, I've come to realize that I've underestimated what the Holy Spirit can bring to my life. I found God as my Father, bringing love and purpose into my life. Jesus as my Savior, he has brought salvation and life. But I think I've been missing the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Romans 8 says, if we have Jesus in us, though our body is dead because of sin, our spirit is alive because of righteousness. And I get that, but then it goes further and it says, but if the Spirit of God also dwells in us, the Holy Spirit also brings life to our mortal body. That's what I want. So I'm not saying I haven't had the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that we do as believers. But I've discovered that being full of the Spirit and operating in giftings and power is actually something that needs to be cultivated and practiced. So I feel like I'm on a bit of a new stage of my journey. I'm pretty early on in it, but it's exciting to see already the effects that it's had on both of our lives. And the things that I've failed to fix in my character, he seems to be renewing in weakness rather than in striving. So coming back to the theme of the texts, I am encouraged that God, in his majesty and in his greatness, it's clearly his will to empower us and to give us abundant life. The reading from Psalms talks about how God uses the weak. I'd always valued knowledge and logic, but these had actually become a hindrance to me, preventing me from coming like a child, expectant, ready to hear what the Holy Spirit had to teach me. I'm also encouraged by another theme that I found in the readings. They all have kind of a commissioning element to them. You know, God created Adam and Eve, he blessed them, he sent them out to multiply and subdue the earth. Jesus said, go, baptize, teach, remember, I am with you. And Paul says to be made complete. And the last line of Paul's instruction is the communion of the Holy Spirit, which in my translation says fellowship. And when I click on that word on my phone, the Greek dictionary pops up and describes that word as meaning the literal participation, partnership, and communication with the Holy Spirit. So what's cool is that we have all of this available to us. And I'm learning to receive it through faith. As a parent, I was thinking about what is my core role to my children. And I came kind of to three categories. The first is to love. It's just the basic need of every person in the universe. Secondly, to provide for them, to be an example and role model to them. And thirdly, to teach them and equip them for their life ahead. And I realized that us as adult children, we have all this available to us in God as well. So we have God, whose literal definition is love. We have Jesus as our Savior and also our role model. And then we have the Holy Spirit to teach and equip us, to renew our minds and to empower us. I'm encouraged here at Chapel Hill as well, actually. It seems like there's more evidence of the Holy Spirit working among us lately. Some of the services that we've had this year already. Even the testimonies that we've had from last week were really cool. And Lee, I share your sentiment about giving more control over to the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, I anticipate with excitement what else he's going to do.
Thanks, John. Mike, you're up.
Kids, can I invite you to come and sit up the front, please? Just come and sit up here, guys, so you can see. Thanks, guys. So, today, Philip has asked me to reflect on Jesus the Son, what it means to be the Son of God. But before I do that, guys, today we're talking about the Trinity, and so I thought I'd very quickly try and explain the Trinity to you, which will be a little bit like building the plane while you're driving it, because I've been trying to understand the Trinity for 30 years, and I'm still getting there. And I got this idea from Google, so if you like it, it's mine. If you don't, it's not mine. So, I am going to tell you that the Trinity is like an apple. When you see an apple, you see one apple. But there are three parts. There is the seed, the flesh, and the skin. And I'm going to cut it open to prove it to you. I was hoping you'd be able to see a seed, and you can, so that worked. So the skin is like God the Father, because he protects us. The flesh is like God the Son, because Jesus Christ took on human flesh. Did you like that wordplay, Philip? I know you like a good wordplay. And the seeds are like the Holy Spirit, because they help us grow. Now, each part of the apple is different, but they are all one apple. Just like we have God, Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but they are one God. Does that sort of make sense? Cool, sort of. So as I said, the challenge this morning was to think about God the Son. And the Bible passage that really jumped out to me was the one that Philip read from 2 Corinthians. Because verses like that, and many like that one, remind me that we are all one big family. In the Trinity, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, who's God the Father? Thank you. And who is the Son?
Jesus.
All right. Okay. So we've got that far. So Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible tells us that if we believe in God and we're Christians, along with our mum and dad here on earth, we also have God in heaven who is our Father. So one way to look at this, and try and stay with me here, guys, is if God in heaven is your dad because you believe in him, and God in heaven is Jesus' dad, what would make that Jesus to you?
Somebody else other than Jake? Yes?
You are onto it. So that would make Jesus our brother. And also, all of these people in this room, turn around and look at all these people. All these people, these guys, are also your brothers and sisters. They're not so scary, are they? Maybe some of them. So as Christians, you have your mum and dad, you have your grandparents, aunties and uncles and cousins, but you also have this amazing church family. And you also have a big brother in Jesus that loves you and will be there with you through your whole life to look out for you and care for you. And what's really amazing is that Jesus, as God's Son, came and lived on earth. So he knows what it's like to live here on earth. And he knows that it can be tough sometimes. And I know sometimes being a son or daughter can be really hard. Sometimes your parents ask you to do things that you don't want to do. For me, when I was growing up, it was leeks. At least once a week, we would have leeks on our plate, and I really didn't like leeks. So I thought it'd be fun to get some examples from you. What's an example from you that your mum and dad ask you to do that's really hard?
Anybody other than my son?
Jake?
Keeping my feet off the walls.
He said keeping his feet off the walls. Anything else? All right, that's pretty good, parents. So as God's son, Jesus knows what it's like when he's asked to do something really tough. So when you pray and talk to Jesus, you are talking to someone who knows what you're going through, someone who came down from heaven to earth to live and die for our sins, and I think that's a pretty amazing big brother to have, don't you? Now, you guys have been sitting super well, so if you circle around that way, Deborah might have something for you as you go back to your seats.
Very cool. Theology at a level that we can all grasp and yet also not grasp. Donna, are you ready? Never. As ready as you'll ever be.
Okay, we'll see how this goes. Hopefully she stays asleep. If she doesn't, someone, she can be donated. Okay, so Philip gave me the verses earlier in the week to have a read through, and the verses in Matthew 28, 16 through 20 really stood out to me, especially the word obey. I feel in verse 20 that's really like what my life is like at the moment. And I thought to myself, do I like being obedient? Is that? The answer's no, not really. It normally means a challenge, or I'm being asked to do something scary, or I don't know, something that I really want to do that I'm not supposed to be doing. It usually is a no. Then I thought, do I like teaching obedience? Because I'm doing that quite a lot with my two-year-old. And no, also no, I do not like teaching obedience. It normally ends the fun of jumping on the couch. It's trying to challenge his will to be in line with my will. And that is very difficult when you don't speak the same language. There's no comprehension, there's no nothing. It's very hard. However, do I like having an obedient child? And the answer is definitely yes. At this stage of my parenting, I still consider it a miracle when I get what Sai to do, what I want him to do, when I want him to do it. But I continue in my expectations to help build really good habits. And then I considered how God is the Father and how pleased and probably surprised he is when I obey him in full the first time. And so I thought, what is this? What is God asking here? He wouldn't say obey my teaching if there wasn't something there that I needed to listen to. And the three points that I saw was making disciples, baptizing, and obedience to God's teaching. Making disciples to me is intentional friendship. So you make a point of catching up with someone, you remember to ask them how they're doing, and then you listen to where they're at. You pray for each other about needs being met and being thankful for answered prayer. Baptizing is an act of obedience, symbolizing a believer's faith in a crucified, buried, and risen Saviour. It's symbolic of the believer's death to the old life of sin and resurrection to walk in their new life with Christ. Sorry, my writing gets really small, but I don't want to stuff that bit up. a resurrection to walk in a new life where Christ, with Christ, a testimony to their faith. and obey everything I have commanded. Interestingly, it takes me back to verse 16, Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, because Judas was gone by this point, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. That could have gone wrong so easily. I'm not sure if you've tried to get a group of friends or family on board to go somewhere when there are options and opinions. This verse easily could have read, 8 disciples went to the mountain, 2 went to get coffee, 1 got the pip and went home. So even some had doubts and they still followed instructions. That is my life goal. Oh my gosh. So in reality, So if you boil down all of the rules in our house, we really only have one rule, and it's love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. My goal is to raise 2 respectful children into 2 well-adjusted, respectful adults, and love encompasses everything. It's why we don't jump on the couch. It's why we say nice things. It's why we share. So I really just need to follow my own parenting and not letting it be a miracle when I follow instructions of God through the Spirit, but to create my own habits of good behavior, to listen and to act in line with what the Spirit tells me, in line with God's written principles. So hopefully I don't ever hear God say, "What are you doing now?" Which I say a lot.
So three people from their own backgrounds with their particular take on the same texts giving us, I hope, a rounded appreciation of our Trinitarian God. I mean, the same text coming out and coming out of that with some different ideas. So I hope that was useful for you. Good. That was a yes. Excellent. I don't just have to hope. Now I know that at least for one person, well, actually for the three who spoke, it would have been useful for them as well. That's the joy of being able to share something. You have to think about it. Well, that's it for this morning. I'd encourage you to look at what has been created as craft in the back. Last week's Pentecost Sunday shining suns are just awesome. And the Trinity craft is really cool as well. And what we're going to do over the next few weeks is Donna's got some amazing crafts that she's got for the kids to do. And so that back wall is going to be populated with what the kids have done for the next little while. So that's really neat. So because they're part of your family, your brothers and sisters to these little ones as well, they're not the things that we get rid of so the adults can get on with the important stuff. Take an interest in what they're doing. I think that would be a good idea. So let me close with the blessing, which I haven't shared for quite some time. Maiho a koe e manaaki, maana koe e tiaki. Yahweh will show you kindness, he will protect you. Maiho e mea kia ti aho tona mata ki a koe. Yahweh will cause to shine his face on you. Maana hoke koe e atawhai, he will also show you kindness. Maiho a tona kanohi e whakara ki a koe. Yahweh will lift his eyes up towards you. Maana ano e tuku taranga marie e ki a koe. He will also grant you peace. And the people said, Amen. Amen. Well, there is no morning tea, not yet. Hopefully come Monday, it'll all be on again. But you are allowed to hang around a little bit and chat. That will be fine. But I'm sorry, there's no beverage. Yeah. God bless you.